Hello, I'm Major Adrian Allman.
And I'm Captain Claire Allman.
Welcome to the Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army podcast series. Birmingham Citadel is a Christian church located in Birmingham city centre, here in the UK. Each episode is a live recording of the Bible message shared during the Sunday worship service.
It's good to have you share with us, and as you listen now, we pray that God will speak to you. May you know God's abundant blessing today.
I find myself despairing this week, in a week where atrocities were rife, 2 shootings, some young man picking up a 6-year-old and just throwing him off an art gallery, somebody in our city running over a policeman yesterday. I find myself with a range of thoughts in a week like this. The society, the world in which I lived, seemed to have broken its moral compass. And you know what? That made me angry. But it also made me somewhat fearful and apprehensive as to where society was going. I'm in my 50s. I felt for my children, who've got a lot longer to live, what kind of society was it going to look like? I then started to consider the place of mental health. Was there a connection? How could we help people with mental illnesses? And at that point, I was lost for answers. I thought about the place of leaders, of politicians and their policies. How were these influencing the behaviour of individuals and groups? And to be quite frank, that left me somewhat annoyed. I then thought about the place of religion and Christianity especially. How were we influencing the world? And you know what? That challenged me to the core. And over the week as I was processing these thoughts, I found myself watching the news. And as I watched the news on the BBC, I listened to the father of a young man who'd been killed last week in El Paso. I want you to watch it. It's only a minute long, but I want you to watch it.
Andre, all his life he showed to be strong. If he died under these conditions, I can live with it because, in my opinion, he was a hero. The loss that I took is like a half of my life. I'm walking numb right now, but I need to be strong and be there for the rest of my family, especially for the little ones.
It's just been rough. There are no words to describe what we're feeling. Me and my sister came to the realization yesterday that it's just going to be us two with our parents that are left, you know. And my brother has always been, you know, very emulative of my father, and so we've always been a close family like that.
The aggressor could be my son, 21 years old, confused, on the wrong path. He made a terrible thing. I forgive him because he was not in his senses. He had the devil inside of him. I'm a great believer of forgiveness in God.
I forgive him. I'm a great believer of forgiveness and God. And that just left me speechless, really. This was days after his son had been gunned down by somebody who seemed to take an awful lot of joy in doing it. It left me very quiet, quite amazed. And it started me thinking about one of the core components of our faith, that of forgiveness. And it reminded me of an article I read a few years ago in the Times newspaper by Matthew Paris. Matthew Paris, when I was a kid, did children's television. He then went on to become a politician and now a columnist in the Times. But it was such an article that I cut it out and I kept it. And I kept it just for moments like this. And in his article, he simply said that the article headline was, "To Hell with Forgiveness," in which he said this: "Wiping the slate clean with people who've hurt us isn't just difficult. It goes against the grain of our survival instinct. Can you forgive? It's the question people are forever asking of someone who has been horribly wronged. I've never understood it. I do not know what the word forgive means. I wonder whether anyone does. He went on to say in that article that those who have forgiven others, he believes, have somehow been duped in some way. And he tells us that his definition of forgiveness was based upon what he'd been taught and learned from his school teacher when he was a child. And his school teacher had instilled into him at a very early age the notion that forgiveness was a Christian concept that meant washing clean or being washed clean. And he finished his article with this after giving that understanding of forgiveness. He was led to believe that when you forgave, really forgave, it was like waking up in the morning and realizing it had all been a bad dream. Forgive and forget? Really? And that was the question he posed. For him, it was something that was difficult. Forgive and forget? Really? I've been most grateful for Major Vic and for David, who in recent weeks and months have wrote some very helpful articles in our dispatches that have talked about the challenges we face on the front line. And Major Vic's going to come up with another series in the next few weeks where he's addressing some very difficult issues. And you know, this whole idea of everything that's happened to me this week brings home one of the biggest frontline challenges that we have as disciples of God, and that is forgiveness, our ability to forgive and be forgiven. You know, many times I've heard the Christian doctrine of forgiveness spoken in terms of forgive and forget. That's what we tell people, that forgiveness is about forgive and forget. Many a sermon will emphasize that God not only forgives sinners, but he also forgets the sin. And I've said it myself. I've never doubted its soundness whatsoever. I've sang choruses like this one. No more, no more. He remembers sin no more. They're pardoned forever. And he will never bring them up against me anymore. Choruses like that have been taken from Scripture. That was probably taken from Jeremiah 31, which says this: no longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they'll all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will remember their wickedness. I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. That was Jeremiah. Isaiah said something very similar, Isaiah 43. I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sin no more. Go to the New Testament, to Hebrews. The writer of the Hebrews says, quotes God, for I will forgive their wickedness, I will remember their sins no more. Even Paul, in his letters to the churches, when he wrote to Corinthians, he penned these words: what I received, I passed on to you as a first importance, that Christ died for our sins. He talks about the importance of forgiveness. I think it's very obvious, isn't it? From four Bible readings, God forgives sinners. Yet God is also omniscient. He's all-knowing. Psalm 145 tells us this. He determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord, abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. Great is our Lord. Psalm 139, David wrote this. You've searched me, Lord, you know me. You know, when I sit, you know where I rise, you perceive my thoughts, you discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. God is all-knowing. Proverbs 15. The eyes of the Lord searches, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. He's all-knowing. 1 Chronicles, for the Lord searches every heart and understands every desire and every thought. Okay, a raft of scripture texts that tells us God forgives sinners, but also a raft of scripture texts that tells us that God is all-knowing. So how do we tally forgive and forget? God knows everything and forgets nothing. So if this is true, how can the things that we do wrong that cause hurt or harm be forgotten? And I come back to the question I asked at the very beginning when I did this children's thing. Does God forget? No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't, because he can't. He's all-knowing. Jennifer Rothschild is an author and writer from America. She's done an awful lot with the women's movement and women's Christianity. And she wrote a book called God is Just Not Fair. And she gives a really helpful little explanation to try and get our head around this whole idea of does God forget? And she says this: I am no Bill Gates, but my understanding is that nothing is ever truly deleted from a computer hard drive. A skilled and motivated computer geek can always retrieve deleted information. So when I think about how God forgets our sins, I don't think it is accurate to say our sin is deleted. I think it is more accurate to say that God chooses not to retrieve our sins. God doesn't keep our sin in a readily accessible file on his desktop. Instead, he archives it to infinity, never to be retrieved again. I found that a very little helpful illustration, because to measure a God who is all-knowing, if he's all-knowing and doesn't forget anything, he can't. It's not within his nature. But actually, he's a God who forgives. And that little explanation just brings it all together. God doesn't say he'll forget our sins. What he says is he'll remember them no more. He doesn't hold our sins over us. He doesn't count them against us. He cleanses and then he moves on. He frees us from that pressure, that feel of guilt, that slavery that almost binds us when we know that we're not in a good place because we've done wrong. And what he does is he sets us free to experience new life. And God chooses not to remember our sins in the way that he treats us. Romans 7 and 8 are some of the most amazing passages of scripture for me. In Romans 7, he tells us what his nature is like. And I don't know about you, I get that. I get that. I find the humanity of Paul in Romans 7 is something that I can totally identify. The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. It's a constant battle. And you sense his frustration. But then he comes in with this great truth in Romans 8 that talks about the forgiveness of God. Not in terms of forgive and forget, but forgive and choosing not to remember. And how will we know that that's happened? Because of that little line. Therefore, there is no condemnation. Not forgotten, but chooses not to remember. No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, to forgive is not to cancel or discount an offence. And I think too many people get that wrong. They feel as though that they're being asked to forgive and then just cancel something that's happened or discount something that's happened as though it never happened. That's not true. Anything that we do wrong has its consequences. And we have to be willing to make right the things that we do wrong. that father in El Paso to speak like he did was truly gracious. He's forgiven the gunman. But that gunman, who's in a cell somewhere in El Paso at the moment, is still going to have to go to a court of law and face the consequences of what he has done. Forgiveness doesn't discount the offense. Forgiveness doesn't cancel his offense. To forgive is not to cancel or discount. But I believe that forgiveness is far richer than that. Forgiveness is about salvaging the sacred. Forgiveness is about finding the gift in the wound and not permitting the pain of the past to dictate the path of the future. Let me read that to you again. Forgiveness is about salvaging the sacred, finding the gift in the wound, and not permitting the pain of the past to dictate the path of the future. You know, stories of the father in El Paso demonstrate that forgiveness is not about pretending you don't feel angry or that you're in pain, but instead it's about responding in compassion rather than rage. But let me say, forgiveness is not easy. It's messy. It's risky. It's complicated. It's painful. But it's also potentially wonderfully transformative. Mark Twain, the famous author, once wrote a simple little line, and it says this: forgiveness is the fragrance that the violet sheds on the heel that's crushed it. Forgiveness is the fragrance that the violet sheds on the heel that has crushed it. If that's what forgiveness is for us, is it any different for God? You know, I think one of the biggest frontline challenges we have doesn't concern Christian apologetics. It concerns Christian behaviour day in, day out. The ability to be forgiven and to forgive. There's no wonder Jesus was keen to include this important aspect of our lives as disciples when he taught his followers to pray. We said it earlier on in the day. Forgive our trespasses as we forgive others. Who has not been wronged? And who has not been guilty of doing wrong? Forgiveness is an important part of our daily discipleship, and yet it's one of the most difficult things to live out. And in the same way that God chooses not to remember, may we have the grace and the courage to do the same. In her book, Jennifer the Rothschild finished that chapter that she was talking about on forgiveness with this beautiful little prayer: God, thank you for your forgetful omniscience. God, thank you for your forgetful omniscience. To forgive and be forgiven is something that God does. Forgive and forget. He cannot forget, but he does forgive and chooses not to remember anymore. Chooses not to remember anymore. And maybe so for us this day. I would be very surprised if your life in days to come doesn't include the need to forgive or be forgiven. And so this morning, I wonder where you're at on this very thought. My thoughts were stirred by a man I watched on the news 3 days after seeing his son being killed, was able to stand up and say, I forgive this man. I believe in forgiveness and God. This morning, do you need to be forgiven? Do Do you need to be the forgiver? There's a beautiful little song in our songbook that as we come to the end of our morning meeting this morning, just to give us some chance to think of those thoughts, reminds us of our need for forgiveness. And as we remember our need of forgiveness, perhaps it also comes to bear when it comes to us forgiving others. The ability to forgive is one of the most crucial things you'll live out in your discipleship. The ability to be forgiven will be a need you will have for the rest of your days. We need to consider it continually. Let's sing together, and as we do, perhaps we can just think of those thoughts that we've shared this morning. If it would help you, and you wanted to come to our place of prayer, our place of prayer is always here, always there to be used. But where we are this morning, may we just remind ourselves that we are forgiven, and the way that God treats us, we are now no longer condemned. There is no condemnation. Let's marvel at that simple truth. And as we marvel at the way that God has treated us, let's think of how we need to behave and act towards others as well. Thanks, Tricia. Are closed, I want to ask you a simple question. Are you in need of forgiveness this morning? And a second question I want to ask is, do you need to be a forgiver this morning? Father God, we know that our belief in forgiveness, our understanding of the doctrine of forgiveness is at the core of our faith. We know very clearly, we've seen again this morning, that your scripture tells us that you are someone who forgives sins. And we're also aware that your scripture tells us that you're all-knowing, that you know everything and forget nothing. And so we just marvel at this very thing, that you are able to forgive. And instead of using the word forget, choose not to remember. Choose not to remember. Put all the things that we do wrong into eternity. And you choose not to remember them. You treat us without condemnation. And this morning, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you that in the work of Jesus on the cross, any price that was paid for our sin was done. And you now are a God who forgives. And yet, Lord, we recognize that even whilst we are forgiven, the ability as we live our lives as disciples, we're going to have to be people who learn to be forgivers as well. And that's not always easy. It's messy, it's risky, it's painful. And yet it's something that you said we should do, because actually, whilst it's all those things, it is powerfully transformative as well. And so, Lord, this morning, as we consider our lives as people in the world, as we consider what we do, as we consider what people do to us, may we learn to put forgiveness at the very core of who we are. May we express gratitude when we are forgiven, and may we give and be given the grace to be forgivers. So Lord, this day, as we live our lives on that front line, forgiveness is something we're going to have to deal with. And so this day we thank you, God, for your forgetful omniscience as it's been brought to us. Help us. Help us to live as you would want us to live. And help us to forgive those who do indeed trespass against us, as we are forgiven when we trespass against others. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you for listening to our podcast this week.
So you don't miss any further recordings, please subscribe to this podcast and also share and review it to help other people find and join our Birmingham Citadel online congregation.
This has been a production for Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army in the United Kingdom. If you'd like to know more about us or want to worship with us, then visit our webpage at birminghamcitadel.co.uk.